As much as possible, would you please kneel with me in prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, we come to you with thankfulness in our hearts this day for the blessings that you've given us today and throughout our lives, and we praise your holy name for it. We ask, Lord, that you would look down upon us all this time with mercy, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon all of those who are here and in like places throughout the world, that you would forgive us of our sins, that you would give us wisdom and understanding of the word that's going to be brought forth to us this day. Father, we ask that you would be with our brothers as they bring forth the words that you would have them say, that you would guide them in these things, that you would give them wisdom and understanding of the things that are written. Father, we ask that you would take control of their mouths, their minds, hearts, tongues, and souls, that your will would be done through them. Father, we ask that you would be with those who are sick and afflicted, who have asked for our prayers, that you would comfort them and that you would heal them of these afflictions. Father, we do ask for these things, giving you all the honor, the praise, and the glory, and we ask for it if it be thy will. And in the holy name of Jesus Christ, we do ask it. Amen. We will be having a 4 o'clock Bible study this afternoon, and this evening our brother Jim Case will be preaching to us at 6:30. Wednesday we'll have a combined prayer service at the East Local, and Thursday it's the United Workers Potato Bar in the dining hall, and they're asking that you please bring a salad or a dessert, so you ladies are going to have a wonderful meal on Thursday. Friday, at D.A. and Aubrey Vogel's house, the junior YPCL, will be having a bonfire and sing-along. That's at 6:30. Hot dogs will be provided. You're to bring a snack and lawn chair. And then next week is potluck. The women's retreat is October 6th and 7th. And you can check the information and forms in the foyer, and you can register online this year. If you have any questions, you can contact Carrie Geyer. Our second hymn is going to be number 263. 263.
Thank you.
Again, I welcome all of you here in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I do thank you for coming out this morning, and you're probably wondering why I have this rasp in my voice and why I'm standing up front this morning instead of sitting down. Well, last night when I was thinking about the service this morning and praying that all would go well, God let me know that I would be standing up front to introduce my brother. And I thought, well, I don't know if I can. And he said, well, you will do what I say. So that's why I'm up here. I guess you don't need to have a really good voice to do this, but you do have to have very good ears and a willing heart to listen to what God is going to be bringing forth through our brother Leslie Case. So I ask that you would pay close attention, that you would turn off your cell phones or put them on silent, and that you would offer up a prayer for our brother Leslie and give him your biggest smiles. Brother Leslie Case.
Thank you, Brother Sean. Good morning, brothers and sisters. I do greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to thank Sister Manon for the songs we just sang, because that's what I'm going to talk about. Probably I could just tell you, go back and sing those songs again and we'll go home. You know, I've had a week or so of great joy. In fact, it was sometime this last week, I think it was, maybe the week before, I forget. I was so full of joy that the words of a song kept going through my mind. You know, I don't sing anymore. I just think the words. But maybe some of you have never heard this little song, but it's one that we used to sing when I was quite young. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-dee. I have a beautiful feeling that everything's going my way. I kind of wondered why I felt so free and so joyful. Last Sunday morning, I wasn't with you, as probably most of you know. Our family got together for a family reunion. We get together once a year, and it's been for quite a few years now. We gather at a park where we camp and stay for about 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and part of Sunday. And so that's where it was last Sunday, and there was about 48 of us there. We had a great time, a great lot of joy, a great time together. And yesterday, the family of my mother, the Stady family, had gathered right here in this building where we do that once a year. We gather someplace. It used to be at Cameron, Missouri, and it's been moved all over from there and finally here for the last 3 years now it's been here. There was only about 28 of us, I think it was, but there should have been about 200. But actually, all of my aunts and uncles are gone to their reward, and some of my first cousins have also passed on. But we did have a great joy. And I will always remember one of the statements one of my cousins made yesterday. He said, you know, I just don't understand some families, how they cannot get together like we do and enjoy each other. And I didn't got in on the conversation, so I don't know just who he was talking about, but he mentioned one family where they wouldn't even talk to each other because of something that happened in their lives. But I'm happy today to be here with you and to experience the love of God and the joy of being in this building with God and with each of you. And I've chosen for a scripture this morning the 15th chapter of John. You remember that's the chapter where he said, I am the vine and you are the branches. And you have to invite the vine to enjoy the strength of the true vine. But starting with the 9th verse, he said, and the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might be in you, and that your joy might be full. That our joy might be full. As our brother read in the beginning of our Sunday school class this morning, so it was one of the first scriptures I had chosen to read to also. In the first chapter of 4th Nephi. Starting with the 13th verse. This is after Christ had left him and he'd gone to back to his father, and the 12 that he had chosen was carrying on the work there. And it says, and they did all walk no more after the performance of the ordinance of the law of Moses, but they did walk after the commandments which they had received from their Lord and their God, continuing in fasting and prayer and meeting together oft to pray to hear the word of the Lord. And it came to pass that there was no contentions among the people in all the land, but there were mighty miracles wrought among the disciples of Jesus. And it came to pass that the 21st year passed away, and also the 72nd year, yea, and fine until the 79th year had passed away, and even till the 100 years had passed away. And the disciples of Jesus whom he had chosen were all gone to the paradise of God, save it were the three who should tarry. And there were other disciples ordained in their stead, and also many of that generation had passed away. It came to pass that there was no contention in the land because the love of God which dwelt in the hearts of the people. And there were no envies, no strifes, no tumults, no whoredoms, no lyings, no murders, nor any manner of lasciviousness. And surely there could not be a happier people among all the people who had God had created by the hand of God. For there were no robbers, no murderers, neither were Lamanites, neither any Manavites, were they all one, the children of Christ, and heirs of the kingdom of God. That is a promise that he has given to those who have taken upon him his name. And I'm very joyful to have the association with each of you. And not only each of you, but those who are out there in what we call cyberspace, who may be listening to me this morning, I greet you all also. For it's the love of God that brings us all together in his word, even though we cannot always be together. Also in the 3rd Nephi, and Christ came to here in the 8th chapter, in the 15th verse. And it came to pass that when they had knelt down upon the ground, Jesus groaned within himself and saith, Father, I am troubled because of the wickedness of the people of the house of Israel. And truly, we are troubled and we are concerned for the wickedness of the Gentiles as well as the house of Israel, that they've all strayed and gone away from the word of God. And when he had said these words, he himself knelt upon the earth, and he prayed unto the Father. The things which he prayed cannot be written. And the multitude did hear and bear record and did hear him. And after this manner did they bear record, that eye hath never seen, neither hath the ear heard before, so great and marvelous things they saw and heard Jesus speak unto the Father. And no tongue can speak, neither can there be written by any man, neither can the hearts of men conceive so great and marvelous things that we both saw and heard Jesus speak. And no one conceive of the joy which filled our souls at the time we heard him pray for us unto the Father. And when it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of praying to the Father, he rose but so great was the joy of the multitude that they were overcome. And it came to pass that Jesus spake unto them and bade them arise. Truly there is no joy, no as great as that joy that Christ, that God has given to us, and of the ability to meet together as we do here. It's one of the promises. But we know that the world has not gone that way. As I begin to pursue the scriptures that I might bring to you this morning, I was caused to go through the Book of Mormon. You know, I'm thinking back now to quite a few years ago when I was superintendent of Sunday school. I asked two of our young sisters that was teaching the younger kids, well, they was been taught the Bible stories, you know, and I asked one of them if they would not teach the Book of Mormon stories. And I was kind of surprised at her answer. She said, well, I can't do that. There's nothing there but wars. I said, yes, there is. Just read it and see. She did. And she was so overwhelmed by the things that were written in that book about the blessings of God and the things that he did for the people. She did a wonderful job. And so it is that there's something there besides wars. They truly had wars, but they had some wonderful times. In Alma, I was a little bit, well, it kind of destroyed some of my joy as I read through those stories in Alma and Helaman, as to things that happened and why. In the second chapter of Alma, and starting with the 8th verse. Remember how the Book of Mormon starts with Nephi and Lehi coming down here with their families and how it developed. And then there, at one time after Nephi's lifetime, there was a king called King Mosiah, King Noah. King Benjamin. It was King Benjamin. All right. And he was King Mosiah's father. But, and then after Mosiah, his sons would not continue his being king, and so they went into what they called judges. They had chief judges, and it's not a king anymore. And so it is here, and it says, and it came to pass in the 8th year of the reign of the judges that the people of the church began to wax proud and became, because of their exceeding riches and their fine silks and their fine twined linens, because of their many flocks and herds and their gold and their silver and all manner of precious things which they had obtained in their industry. In all these things they were lifted up in the pride of their eyes, and they began to wear very costly apparel. And this was the cause of much afflictions to Alma, yea, and to many of the people whom Alma had consecrated to be teachers and priests and elders over the church. Yea, and many of them were sorely grieved by the wickedness which they saw and began to be among the people. And they saw and beheld the great sorrow that the people of the church began to be lifted up in the pride of their eyes, to set their hearts upon riches and upon very fine things of the world. And they began to be scornful one towards another. They began to pursue those things which did not persecute those who did not believe in accordance with their own will and pleasure. And thus in the 8th year of the reign of the judges, there began to be great contentions among the people of the church. And there were envyings and there were strifes and malice and persecutions and pride, even to exceed the pride of those who did not belong to the church of God. And thus ended the eighth year of the reign of the judges. And the wickedness of the church was a great stumbling block, and those who did not belong to the church, and thus the church began to fail in its progress. And it came to pass in the commencement of the ninth year, Alma saw the wickedness of the church, and he saw that the example of the church, and he began to lead those who were unbelievers, and from one piece of iniquity to another, and thus began to be the destruction of the people. The great joy that they had had for a while was gone because of pride. Why pride? Because of their riches. They felt one felt better than the other. And all these things entered in. And we know as we read through Alma there that they had wars. And if you go over into the 29th chapter of Alma, that was in 86 BC when we just read if I'll go, and now in 60 BC, only 14 years later. Twenty-ninth chapter and the 55th verse. The wars had ended. And so therefore Alma and his brethren went forth and did declare unto the word of God with much power and convincing the people of their wickedness convincing the people of their wickedness, which did cause them to repent of their sins and to be baptized into the Lord their God. The king passed to establish again the church of God throughout all the land. Yea, and regulations were made according to the law. And the judges and their chief judges were chosen, and the people of Nephi began to prosper again in the land, and to multiply and to wax exceeding strong again in the land. They began to grow exceedingly, but withstanding their riches of their strength and their prosperity, they were not lifted up in the pride of their eyes, neither were they slow to remember the Lord their God, but they did humble themselves exceedingly before him, and they did remember how great the things that the Lord had done for them, and had delivered them from death and from the bonds of prison and from all manner of afflictions. And he had delivered them out of the hands of their enemies. And they did pray unto the Lord their God continually, insomuch that the Lord did bless them according to his word. And they did wax strong and prosper in the land. And then between those two times, there was great wars and contentions, and the group of people, band called the Gadianton Robbers was very effective in the land, and many people joined them and could cause these great contentions. And then we went on into the next book of Helaman, and things went the same way. In Helaman, the second chapter, starting with the 130th verse, says, and behold, there were all manner of gold in both these lands. And he's talking about the north, the land north, the land south. The land north was the land of Zarahemla. That's where Mulek landed when he came here at the time of the overthrow of the Jerusalem there in about 600 BC. And Mulek was the son of King Zedekiah, the only surviving son of the king. And they came here and landed from the Atlantic side of Central America. And that was the land northward. And, of course, Nehi and Nephi, they came from the other direction, from the south, or from the west, rather, down and land on the south side, or the west side of that neck of the of Mexico or Central America, and that was a land southward. And they began to rise again the abundance of both north and south, and they did flourish exceedingly both in the north and the south, and they did multiply and wax exceeding strong in the land, and they did raise many flocks and herds, yea, many fatlings, and their women did toil and spin and make all manner of cloth and fine twined linen and cloth of every kind and cloth of to clothe their nakedness. And thus the 16th year did pass away in peace, and the 16th year did, and they did have joy and great peace, insomuch preaching and many people concerning their, that which had come, and thus passed away in the 65th year. And it came to pass in the 66th year, the reign of the judges became Zizrim was murdered by an unknown hand, and he sat upon the throne, as he sat upon the judgment seat. It came to pass in that same year, his son, who had been appointed to by the people in his stead, was also murdered, and thus entered in the 66th year. And in the commencement of the 67th year, the people began to grow exceeding wicked again. And behold, they had been, the Lord had blessed them so long with the riches of the world that they had not been stirred up to, that they had not been stirred up to anger, to wars, neither the bloodshed. Therefore, they began to set their hearts upon their riches. And they began to seek to get gain, that they might be lifted up one above the other. Therefore, they began to commit secret murders and to rob and to plunder, that they might get gain. And behold, these murders and the plunders were a band which had been formed by Kiscommon and Gadianton, and among the Nephites of Gadianton bond. Then, but behold, there were many number among them who were wicked part of the Lamanites, and they were called the Gandant robbers and murderers, and it was they who did murder the chief judge Zizrim and his son in the judgment seat, and behold, they were not found. And so it went on then until, and that was about 29 BC. And going on to the 144th verse of that same chapter. It said, but behold, Satan did stir up the hearts of more than part of the Nephites, and so much that they did unite with those of Pander. Let's see. I start with the 144th. Now it came to pass that when the Lamanites found that there were robbers among them, that they were exceeding sorrowful, and they did use every means in their power to destroy off the face of the earth. And behold, Sultan did stir up the hearts of more parts of the Lamanites, insomuch that they did unite with those bands of robbers, and did enter into a covenant with their oaths, and that they would protect and preserve one another in whatsoever difficult circumstances they would be placed, that they should not suffer for their murders and their plunders and their stiff necks. It came to pass that they did have their signs, yea, their secret signs and their secret words, and this that they might distinguish a brother who had entered into covenant, that whatsoever wickedness his brother should do, he should not be injured by his brother, nor by those who did belong to his band, who had been taking this covenant. And thus that they might murder and plunder and steal and commit whoredoms and all manner of wickedness contrary to the laws of their country and also the laws of their God. And whatsoever of these who belong to this band should be reveal into the world of their wickedness that and their abomination should be tried, not according to the laws of the country, but according to the laws of their wickedness, which had been given by Gadianton and Kiscommon. And now behold, of these secret oaths and covenants, Alma commanded that his son should go forth the world and let them know that, lest they should be means of bringing down the people into destruction. And now behold the secret oaths and covenants which did not come forth into Gad, and from the records which were delivered into Helaman. But they were put into the hearts of Gadianton by the same being who did entice the first parents to partake of the forbidden fruit, yea, the same one who did plot with Cain that he should murder his brother Abel. It should not be known into the world. And he did plot with Cain and his followers from that time forth. And also, it is this same being who put into the hearts of the people to build the tower sufficiently high that they might get to heaven. And it was this same being who led the people who came forth from the tower unto the land to spread the works of darkness, abomination, and all the face of the land. Going down, stop to 163. And thus we see that the Lord began to pour out his spirit upon the Lamanites because of their easiness and their willingness to believe in his word. And it came to pass that the Lamanites did hunt a band of robbers of Gadianton, and they did preach the word of God among the more wicked part of the people, part of them, insomuch that this band of robbers was utterly destroyed from among the Lamanites. Came to pass that on the other hand, that the Nephites did build them up to support them, beginning to at the more wicked part of them until they had overspread all the land of Nephites and had succeeded in more part of the righteous until they had come down to believe in their works. And this continued on until we know what happened when Christ was born. This was about, like I said, about 20 BC. But they were given the prophet that came from the Lamanites to the Nephites and told them of their wickedness. Ezekiel? Amen. No. Anyway, the name of that prophet that came and talked to them about their wickedness, and he persuaded them of their wickedness, but yet they destroyed him and burned him at the stake. And he told them that Christ would come within 5 years. And so when Christ was born, we know that they received this sign of his coming, and even though that at that time these robbers were, and the wicked part of the people had said that those who believed in the coming of Christ would be destroyed if he didn't happen at that time. And at that time, the word came unto Nephi, who was also a brother, a son of Helaman, and he was told that Christ would be born that night, and sure enough, he was. But then it's also told at the end of Christ's ministry that at his crucifixion, there would be a great destruction to the land, and it would be many things, cities would be burned and buried and drowned. And so it was, it happened. We know that his Christ's crucifixion, this land was, the whole face of the land was changed, and that they might know that Christ had been crucified. You know, we're not always not promised that we would not have any problems. In Psalms, David wrote Psalms 54. Verse Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth, for strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul, and they have now set God before them, Selah. The O God is my helper, the Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto mine enemies, and cut them off in their truth. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. For he hath delivered me out of all trouble, and my eyes have seen his desire upon mine enemies. No, God has not told us that we would not have problems or difficulties. But as David wrote here, he will deliver you out of them. He will deliver us out of them. And the song that we just sang about prayer, when time of trial comes, that is our answer. In Jacob, book of Jacob, which was before King Benjamin, really. Second chapter. Jacob wrote unto his people, or spoken to his people, in 15th verse on page 170, and this was about 544 or 421 BC. And the hand of providence has smiled upon you most pleasingly, that you might obtain many riches. And because some of you had obtained more abundantly than others, than your brethren, ye were lifted up in the pride of your hearts, and were stiff necks and high heads, because of costliness of your apparel, and to persecute your brethren because you suppose that you are better than they. And now, my brethren, do you suppose God justifieth you in these things? Behold, I say unto you, nay. But he commandeth you that you should, if you persist in these things, his judgment must speedily come upon you. Oh, that he would show unto you that he can perceive you, and with one glance of his eye, he can smite you to the dust. Oh, that he would rid you of your iniquity and abomination. Oh, that ye would listen unto the word of his commandments, and let not this pride in your heart destroy your souls. Think of your brethren like unto yourselves, and be familiar with all, and free with your substance, that they might be rich like unto you. But before you seek for riches, seek ye the kingdom of God. And after you have seen the hope in Christ, ye shall obtain riches, if you seek them, and ye will seek them, for the intent to do good, to clothe the naked, to feed the hungry, to liberate the captive, to minister relief unto the sick and afflicted. And now, my brethren, I have spoken to you concerning the pride of those of you which have afflicted your brethren, your neighbor rather, and persecuted him, because ye were proud in your hearts, the things which God had given to you. What say ye of it? Do you not suppose that such things are abominable unto him that created flesh, and one being is as precious in his sight as the other, and all flesh is of dust, and for the selfsame end hath he created them, that they should keep his commandments and glorify him forever? And now make an end of speaking concerning this pride. And he went ahead to talk about a grosser crime, what they had gotten into. And in 3 Nephi, in the 6th chapter, and the 15th verse, page 641, this is also at AD 34. And why buildest thou the mote is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? How wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under your feet, and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that seeketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh shall be opened. Or what man is there of you who, if he asks for a bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye shall, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall the Father who is in heaven give good things unto them that ask him? Therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many that go there be therein at. I think I started to read it. Should have started the night. Let's see. We'll drop down to about 34. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of the Father which is in heaven. Many shall say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess with them, I never knew you. I got my scriptures all mixed up here. I started after I was supposed to read instead of what I was supposed to read to you. I knew what, but that was good reading anyhow. Starting with the third verse of that chapter, Christ. And so now it came to pass when Jesus had spoken these words, he looked upon the 12 whom he had chosen and said to them, Remember the words which I have spoken. For behold, ye are they whom I have chosen to minister to this people. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor what you shall put yet for your body. For what shall ye put on? Is not life more than meat, and body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, for your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Neither consider the lilies of the valley, how they grow and how they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, even so will he clothe you, if ye are not of little faith. Therefore, take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, take no thought for tomorrow will take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient is the day unto the evil thereof. I want to draw your attention that in the beginning of that reading, it said he spoke this to the apostles, the 12 that he had chosen. If we would turn to the sixth chapter of Matthew, and that was part of this, what's called the Sermon on the Mount in the Bible. Sixth chapter of Matthew. Starting with the 19th verse. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and here it is, he speak, we start back at this part of the Sermon on the Mount. And he went up on the mountain, and he opened his mouth and said these things, and he was speaking to the whole multitude that was before him. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. And if therefore that light is in thee, it be darkness. How great is thy darkness? Now let's drop down to about 31. Therefore, take no thought for saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take no thought, therefore, for tomorrow. For tomorrow will take thought of the things for itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. God will supply us with the necessities of life. He said, we're told that, as I read earlier there in the Book of Mormon, that we should seek first the kingdom of God. And it's mentioned several places, as I've already read. But seeking first the kingdom of God. And then in that one place it says, and then you will seek riches, but to do good and to feed into the hungry and the naked and so on. And so it is that our first effort should be to seek the kingdom of God. And when we do this with the Spirit of God within us, and as it said also in a song we just sang, when we have these trials, did we think to pray? God is the answer to all of our problems, and he will deliver us out of all of those problems if we just seek God. But we just, as we, the whole scripture is that we're to treat our brother equal to ourselves, and to seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and to he said we will seek riches to do good and to support the work of the Heavenly Father. And we know that we're living in the last days, a day when this gospel will be gone to all the world. It's prophesied that it would be taken by bulrushes or ships of bulrushes. And of course, even that we don't use bulrushes anymore, we use airplanes to get to those four places. And the gospel is taken to them. And they're fed and to nourished. But they're... There's a time coming when they will be taken home. As we read, those of you who were here last Sunday evening probably remember that we were told that in the last days when this gospel goes into the house of Israel, that is a time when they will be gathered in, and then will the time of Zion will come. We pray for Zion, we talk of Zion, and we hope for Zion. But the time will come when this gospel will be preached, and the everlasting gospel will bring the souls of men to be obedient to him. We're also told in the Book of Mormon that in the 9th and 10th chapter of 3rd Nephi was read unto us, that we should humble ourselves, and if we humble ourselves, we will be numbered with the house of Israel. And then will these great things come to pass. They're in the future, but our effort should be to work towards that end, that we might have the power of God and the Spirit of God within us, our hearts. And again, I say these things because I know that we have that Spirit with us. I'm saying we can't improve on it, but I think we need to continue to remember that God is the answer to all of our problems. and to think of our brother equal to ourselves, and to seek God's guidance and direction in all things. And as we just sang, when we have these trials come upon us, did you think to pray? God bless you.
Thank you very much, Brother Leslie. Are there those, are there any among us who have come today needing administration? Okay. Our sister Angelita needs administered to. Marvin and Jim, would you do the administrations? And our sister Darlene, our closing hymn is going to be number 318. It's 318.
Let us bow our heads, please. O God, our eternal Father, in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, we bow our heads and offer up this prayer unto you, that you might have mercy upon us and forgive us of our sins and our weaknesses, that you strengthen us against those things that enter into our hearts and our lives that ought not be there. But help us indeed to be humbled before you and put away all things that are contrary to thy will. Help us to hold fast to your word, and to walk in your paths, and to hold up the light of your Son into the world, not only for our own soul's welfare, but that we might be that light and that salt that the earth can be savored with. O God, thou knowest how many wickednesses are in the earth, yea, even in our own country. And we pray, O God, that you'd help us to give hope and joy and life unto all mankind, that they might too come unto you with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, that thy work might move forward. And we pray for those who are suffering from afflictions, those who have administered to, and those who perhaps do not even know there's such a thing as administration or the healing power from your great hand. But we do pray that you'd lift them up and to heal them, not only physically, but spiritually. Go with us now as we depart to our homes and protect us from harm and from danger, but direct us in the ways of truth and righteousness. And we ask it all in Jesus' holy name. Amen.